Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. When Nirvana frontman Kurt Cobain shot himself with a shotgun in 1994, his mother told a reporter, quote, "Now he's gone and joined that stupid club," referring not just to the long list of rock stars who also succumbed to drugs, drink, and fame, but also to the roster of legends who left the stage forever at the age of 27. When I swear that I don't have a gun. No, I don't have a gun. In his compelling new book from DeCapo Press, 27, Howard Soons traces the lives of six of rock's tragic heroes, revealing that from Rolling Stones founder Brian Jones to Amy Winehouse, fame and mental instability have often been a fatal combination. Howard Soons, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you.
You began by starting with Amy Winehouse, the most recent entrant into this 27 Club. What did her case have in common with many of her forebears in the 1960s and 70s?
Well, they all had difficult childhoods in that there was problems with mum and dad. There was some friction in childhood. They all were borderline mentally ill, to be frank. They were unstable people who had personality disorders, Amy very much so. And they got into drink and drugs very early, before show business. They were using drink and drugs at school. And then they all got famous about the same age, and they got very famous very quickly. And they weren't strong enough psychologically to cope with that.
You went deep into the statistics to demonstrate whether there is actually rate of death among 27-year-olds that's higher than other rock and pop stars at different ages. Is there statistically a reason for a spike at the age of 27? Is that a real thing?
Well, there is a spike. I mean, the first thing to say is it unusual to die at 27? Because there is this phrase, the 27 Club, the curse of the 27 Club. And the suggestion is that these people died. There was something malevolent, something supernatural happening, that they were all fated to die. But that's all nonsense. And the conspiracy theories are all nonsense. It's a coincidence that a lot of really famous people have died at the age of 27, and there is a spike in the graph. And I do some very involved mathematical work to find that out definitively in the book. But apart from a coincidence, there is a real story here, because the fact that they died at 27 is a coincidence, but the fact they died young isn't a coincidence. They died young because they were fundamentally weak, self-destructive people who threw their lives away.
To what extent can we point to the surrounding circus around each of them? Because for many of them, you know, management didn't make things any easier, and there were a lot of yes men and women around to supply drugs and so forth. For a lot of the big six, you know, the path was made faster.
Well, yeah, the rock and roll business fetishizes dissolute young rock and roll rebels. They're sexy, they make good copy, they make good pinups. And the 27s were that. Their parents were part of the problem. Their loved ones, including husbands, wives, lovers, were also part of the problem. Often they were flaky people. They chose to link their lot with people as flaky as themselves. And the record companies were out to make money out of them. And we, the public, enjoyed the spectacle of these unhappy people singing about their desperately unhappy lives. And that's really who these people are. If you listen to Amy Winehouse's songs carefully, you know, it's not, those songs are very, very dark. They're very, very bleak. And Janis Joplin's whole act was angst. And it wasn't a put-on act. She was desperately unhappy. And that was very entertaining. So we all took part in this rather depressing spectacle, really. But it's a fascinating subject to look into. There's a lot there, but beyond there's so much nonsense said about the 27s, that they were murdered, that the mafia killed them, that so-and-so murdered them. Nobody murdered them. They killed themselves because they were unhappy.
As you've just alluded to, in many cases here, the official story is not accepted among, you know, sometimes even among intimates of those stars who were lost at age 27, whether it be because of, you know, shoddy police work or friends trying to cover tracks up. In many cases, the official narrative has just been dismissed by a cottage industry around these people. Why do you think that is?
Well, lots of things. The people who are closest to them are often, frankly, liars. For instance, Jim Morrison's girlfriend, who was with him at the last, simply lied to the police to cover up her own drug use. The same was true of Jimi Hendrix's girlfriend. And also, it's hard to face the reality that this star, whom we all admired and loved, perhaps, and was so unhappy that they didn't want to live. It's easier to put your faith in conspiracy theories. And then there are others who simply make stuff up to make money. And there have been some absolutely preposterous books and some terrible films made about the 27s, films like Stone, the Brian Jones film, which perpetuate fantasies about murder theories based on no evidence whatsoever. And it's all just nonsense. The reality is quite clearly established in the records, which I use for the basis of 27, the official records. And these people's deaths were completely explicable and quite clear. There's a book called Who Killed Kurt Cobain? Well, the answer is Kurt Cobain killed himself. There couldn't be a clearer case of suicide.
You've also written about plenty of rock stars who've had long and fruitful careers. And so my question is, what makes the difference for people who are in a similar cauldron, as you've mentioned, a lot of media attention, drugs, women, whatever. Some of them are able to weather that and others aren't.
Yeah, I wrote, my last book was Fab, a biography of Paul McCartney. He's a very happy, confident, well-adjusted person, and he always was. He has enjoyed his career. He's had a great time being Sir Paul McCartney. In contrast, the 27s, the big six that I write about in this book, did not have a great time. Their careers were careers of misery. It was like a purgatory they went through. They were very talented. They made some great music, and they must have enjoyed making music when it was going well, but they became trapped by their images. They had personal problems which were overwhelming, and the whole thing became far too much for them, and they weren't as strong psychologically as people like Paul McCartney. The reason Brian Jones died and Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, his friends, continue to this day into old age is that Mick and Keith are just much tougher people.
Now, you focused on the big six, as you've called them. How many actual instances did you find of musicians with a certain level of acclaim dying at 27?
Well, I found 50. I did a survey of 3,000 people who've died of some notoriety in popular music over the past 100 years, and just to find out, what age they all die at. And the peak actual age of death is 61. But in the very early part of the graph, there is this spike at 27. Now, they don't all die for the same reasons. The big six have very common themes going on. But if you look at the 50, the number one reason is the primary reason is drink and drugs. But that's often the result of something else that's going on, i.e. there's problems behind the use of drink and drugs. The second most common reason, actually, are straightforward accidents, often road accidents. Musicians travel a lot, and if you travel a lot, you're likely to have a car crash. And a lot of them died in car crashes and so on and so forth. Quite a few were murdered. I mean, legitimate murders. And there were some straightforward suicides, by which I mean people hanged themselves or shot themselves rather than drank themselves to death. So there's a variety of reasons why people died at 27. But the thing that stands out is how many of them drank or doped themselves to an early grave. And I guess what the book tries to do is to see why that was. What was it about these people that made them so self-destructive? They weren't drinking and taking drugs to have a good time, I would argue. They were drinking and taking drugs to escape from themselves.
Well, for whatever it's worth, the book showed up when I was 27, and I just waited a couple weeks until I was 28 to read it.
Oh, great.
I'm in the clear.
Enjoy it.
And the book is 27 from the author Howard Soons. It's published by DeCapo Press. Very interesting read, and I thank you for a few minutes.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.